Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
I'm in London today where there is an election coming up next month, and President Trump did a little election interference yesterday, calling into a radio show and saying that Boris Johnson's Brexit deal will make it difficult for the U.S. to cut a free trade deal with the U.K. The show was hosted by Brexit Party founder Nigel Farage, who made some news of his own today. NPR London correspondent Frank Langfitt is here with me in the studio now in London. Frank, it's great to see you in person.
Welcome back, Jeremy.
Well, thank you. And there's been a lot of news this week, but let's get to what happened today. Nigel Farage making some news of his own.
Yeah, he's basically saying to Boris Johnson, I can help you win a majority in Parliament on December 12th when they have the big vote here. And what he's basically saying to Johnson is, let's split up the territory. I will pull my people out of your where you have Tory seats. I'll go after Labour. I'll try to win them and we'll run as a coalition. But he said in order to do that, Boris Johnson has to kill his withdrawal agreement that he's been working incredibly hard to get.
Which was very hard to
pass
through Parliament.
It was, yeah. And so the idea that you would do this makes no sense, I think, to Boris Johnson. So I don't know exactly where this is going. But the threat is, if not, Nigel Farage would run in Tory seats and would split the vote and maybe the Remain side of Labour and other parties could win.
And this is because Nigel Farage, who, by the way, his party has zero seats in Parliament right now.
It's a new party.
It's a new party. And he believes that Boris Johnson's Brexit deal is too soft of a Brexit.
What he is arguing for is a no-deal Brexit, walking away without a withdrawal agreement that every economist you talk to practically says would no doubt damage this economy considerably.
But there are people in this country who think that that's a good idea.
There are people in this country absolutely feel that.
And you've got the two major parties, the Labour Party and the Conservative Party, that are kind of split on the issue of Brexit. So there is an opportunity for somebody like Nigel Farage to come along and say, well, I'm going to give you leave the way you want it.
Yeah, and there is a constituency, but I don't think it's a very large one, which is what it seems to be right now is Johnson not going for this or willing to deal with Nigel Farage, which suggests he's confident that he can do this on his own.
Now, this is connected to what happened yesterday, which was that President Trump called in to Nigel Farage's radio show, which is unheard of.
Yeah.
For the president of the United States to involve himself in an election, especially at this early stage, in another country. And he said not only that he thinks that the opposition leader, Jeremy Corbyn, would be so bad for – those are his words – for the UK, but he also said that he doesn't think that the deal that Boris Johnson struck with the EU is going to be good either. What did he say?
Well, what he said basically – he didn't explain exactly why, mm-hmm. Jeremy, but the important thing is he was not supportive of Boris Johnson's deal. So this hurts Boris Johnson. I mean, one of the things that Johnson and the other Brexiteers have been saying since this campaign started back in 2016 for the referendum is we're going to be unshackled from all of the bureaucrats and all of these regulations from the European Union. We're going to go out and we're going to strike these great free trade deals mm-hmm. that are going to make us richer with, of course, the United States. Now you have the president of the United States saying, I don't like what I see here.
Which would be interesting if Jeremy Corbyn ends up being the next prime minister and then has to work with President Trump.
I can't imagine what that would be like.
Okay. I want to ask you, Frank, while we have you here, you just got back from Northern Ireland, which has been at the center of the debate over Brexit because Northern Ireland is part of the UK and the Republic of Ireland would still be part of the EU after Brexit. They've been trying to figure out the border issues. What did you find in Northern Ireland?
Well, it was really interesting. The Brexit withdrawal agreement that we were just talking about, Jeremy, basically to kind of simplify it for people in the States, it draws a border down the Irish Sea. And what this means is after Brexit, what would happen is there would be customs arrangements so that if you were in Northern Ireland and you're a business, you might have to pay customs tariffs for products that are coming over because those products could in fact go into the EU. So the EU wants somebody because there's not going to be a border between Northern Ireland and Ireland. Well, first of all, businesses don't like this. I was talking to a tailor who said, I don't have the people to do this admin for me. I'm going to do more work with Ireland. Mm-hmm. Other people, unionists in Northern Ireland who love the United Kingdom, love the Queen, feel like they're being betrayed by Boris Johnson, that like, oh, now there's going to be this distance, this division between us.
It's sort of like if you had to go through customs to take something from Hawaii to California.
Or I think even, yeah, I mean, I think that's one way. I mean, imagine how Hawaiians would feel
right.
if they were collecting taxes and tariffs for another country from something that's coming from the States. You can understand they wouldn't like this.
So you think that people are very frustrated with this. Do you sense violence? Because there's been a history of violence.
There is. And I think for the first time, I've been going to Belfast for a number of years now, and it's the first time I really felt considerable tension. And unionists are very unhappy about this. There is talk of some potential return to violence, not big violence, and people don't even want to talk that way. But Jeremy, I got to say, it felt different in a way than it ever has in my trips to Belfast.
Well, we look forward to your reporting on that. Frank, NPR's Frank Langfitt, London correspondent here with me in London today. Great to see you. Thanks.
Happy to do it, man.